reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first, and bind them in bundles, be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I've often heard people say that they found God or they found Jesus. And I won't tell you what my smart remark is in my head. But it always struck me as kind of curious. So we come to the story of Jacob. Jacob, who becomes the father of Israel, his name becomes Israel, and who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Isaac and Rebekah have twin sons, Esau first, and Jacob is the second born. It seemed as they fought in the womb. And when they're born, the Bible says that Esau came out and Jacob followed, holding on to Esau's heel. And so afterward, the competition continued. Jacob favored Esau, who liked to hunt game. And Rebekah favored Jacob, a quiet man. And also, she had received a word from God that he would become the leader and would be over his brother. Well, time goes on, and Esau is tricked out of his birthright by Jacob. Now, a birthright meant that the eldest son would have extra rights. He would have the leadership of the family and the double share of the inheritance. But Esau is prepared to sacrifice this because he is famished. And the writer says, and he despised his birthright. Isaac is getting older, and he becomes blind. Then Rebekah and Jacob trick Isaac into giving his blessing to Jacob when it rightly belongs to Esau. How does he do that when Jacob and Esau are so different? It says Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was a smooth man. Well, Rebekah puts pelts on Jacob so that when Isaac touches him, he'll feel the hair on the pelt. And he will smell the outdoors and the land. And so Isaac blesses Jacob. Esau comes in not long after, and Isaac realizes he's been tricked, and he says, "Oh, my son, I gave the blessing to your brother." And Esau says, "Isn't there more that you could give me?" And it seems as though what Esau gets is more of a curse than a blessing. He will always be under his brother's leadership. And so it goes. And Esau vows to kill his brother once his father has died. Jacob is sent away by Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac to get a wife who is not a Canaanite. And Rebekah sends him away to protect him. And where is Jacob going? He's going to the place of Rebekah's brother, Laban. And he's going to find a wife. And possibly, if he understands it, fleeing for his life. And this is where we enter the story. Jacob has traveled and is tired, and he lies down and has a dream, or perhaps a vision, of angels ascending and descending a ladder to heaven. Now, the ladder is probably not like what we think of a ladder, a step ladder that we would put up against the wall and climb to paint or change a light bulb or do some dusting around the corners. It's much more like a pyramid. It's the kind of thing that was built and became what we call the Time of Babel. A ziggurat is the correct word. But it was a way of trying to get close to God, a way of ascending to heaven. And we know how that ended up. In this case, the ladder and the angels are sent by God. And the ascending and the descending indicate what was wanted all those many years ago. Earth joined to heaven, humanity to God. And the Lord stood beside him. Jacob is not looking for God. As far as we know, he has no relationship whatsoever with God, not like Abraham did, and perhaps Isaac. And in fact, Jacob says to his father, "The Lord your God," not "the Lord our God," "the Lord your God." God comes to Jacob with a promise. "Your offspring will be like dirt of the earth. I will be with you wherever you go." There doesn't seem any kind of sense that Jacob has been afraid or unsure of himself. And yet God comes. Sometimes we think God comes when we pray because we're in the middle of a life crisis. We looked for God and God answered. What if God is looking for us, looking to find where we are open to receiving his presence? What if God is always looking for us, wanting to be with us in good times, not just in times of desperation? A woman I knew lived with serious illness for many years, probably 40, I think it was 40 years. Now, we would have expected her to be praying constantly for a miracle, for a cure, for release from pain. But she talked to God as a real presence in her life, a real presence in her room with her, like a conversation. Apparently, even telling God jokes. She knew God was right there in the room with her. He came to her. And she was open. God is not waiting for us to find him. He is always present. Sometimes he makes us aware of him. As Jacob is sleeping, he is in a place of receptiveness. He's open. The ladder and the angels capture his attention. And then there is God right beside him, right there. Even in the midst of the pandemic, our lives are filled with distractions. What would get our attention so that we would look up and see God? Doesn't really matter if there's nothing in particular. The important thing is to be receptive, expectant. And we need to stop talking and stop being busy doing things. That's why Jacob is receptive. He's in that moment of sleep where the distance between God and him is breached. The angels appear. God appears. If we're expectant, if we're waiting, if we're not busy, if we're not talking in our prayers, we often seem to say a lot, don't we? Anglicans particularly talk a lot in prayers. But God will make his presence known. He's there. He makes it known to us. He finds us, makes himself known, and we realize that God, as he promised Jacob, is with us always. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive to what God has for us, to feel his presence right beside us every day of our lives. Amen. We will sing the song, Open.